Because us against them, we found our own reasons to sing. And it's so much less confusing when lines are drawn like that. When people are either consumers or revolutionaries, enemies or friends, hanging on the fringes of the cogs in the system. It's just about knowing where everyone stands. All of a sudden, people start talking about guns.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is David Halperin, who is the Director of Campus Progress at the Center for American Progress. Campus Progress is devoted to supporting progressive activists and student journalists on college campuses. David Halperin is a former speechwriter for Bill Clinton and Howard Dean. He's also worked as an attorney and consultant for such groups as Public Citizen, Greenpeace, and Democracy for America. Welcome to Background Briefing, David Halperin.
Thank you, Ian. Glad to be back.
So we now learn that the student debt in this country may top $1 trillion this year. Obviously, there is a connection here to many of the young people who are demonstrating across this country and around the world, in part started by the Occupy Wall Street movement. I've interviewed some people down here at Occupy Los Angeles. Some students, the first thing they talk about was the onerous debt burden they have. Do you see this as a growing political issue?
Yes, I do. Absolutely. This year, Americans will take out more than $100 billion in student loans, which is a record. And as you mentioned, the total debt owned by students may be more than $1 trillion, and it's starting to look a little bit like the mortgage crisis. And I hope it doesn't get to that level. But the problem is, I would say four factors here. You've got higher educational costs going up, and I can tell you how much. We can get into that. Less financial aid than there was in the past. Bad educational value in many cases, especially with for-profit colleges as their growth has increased. And, of course, high unemployment. So more people are paying more money to get an education and then finding that they have debt and no jobs and therefore they can't pay back the loan. So it's very tough, and we've been hearing it. It's been 7 years we've been building Campus Progress, and I think it's getting to the point that it is becoming part of what is making people angry and concerned about the future of the country.
So, I'm speaking with David Halperin, who is the Director of Campus Progress at the Center for American Progress, and we're talking about how student loan debt in the United States will top $1 trillion this year. And the for-profit colleges, we've talked about them before, and I must say I find them just absolutely unconscionable that in this environment where you have this enormous debt load the students have, and we've discussed why, in part because of the higher tuition costs. But what is, I think, unconscionable is that government money is being loaned back to students at huge premiums to buy these for-profit colleges that in turn provide a next to useless education and a worthless diploma. And that just seems cruel to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I want to say they're not all worthless. I know people that teach at some of these institutions and do well, but many of them are worthless, and many of them are just basically scams. They have 10% of the students in the U.S., which is much more than they used to have. They have 25% of the financial aid. They have 46% of the loan defaults. If you go to a for-profit school, you're twice as likely to end up in default as if you went to a nonprofit or a public institution of higher learning. And many of them are just straight up scams. All they want to do is get you in the door. Many get 90% of their revenue from federal financial aid, and they would get more, except there's a law that says you can't get more than 90% of your revenue from federal financial aid. So they're right up against that limit. A lot of them, once they get your money, you get past the date when they don't have to give back the money, they lose interest in you. They're not, many of them, just the programs are just a joke, and we talk to a lot of the students who go to them. But what's worse and what's more offensive is, as you know, we discussed another time, and hopefully all your listeners were tuned in both times, they, when they were faced with the government saying, look, you've got to do better. If your students are flunking out at high rates, if your students can't pay back their loans at high rates, then you're not going to be able to get this financial aid anymore. What they did, instead of saying, okay, you know, our reign of terror and excess is over, they hired every lobbyist in Washington, D.C., many, many prominent Democrats, to lobby this Democratic administration to try to gut this regulation. And they succeeded to some extent, although because there was a year of debate on this bill and on this regulation and whether they should be held accountable, the media caught up, the public caught up, students spoke out, and now their fortunes are changing and their enrollment is down, their stock is down, and they're going to have to change. And they won't unless we remain vigilant. But for-profit colleges, while serving some people well, have ruined a lot of lives and are a big part of this picture of why we're getting to $1 trillion worth of student debt and a real risk of a big student loan default crisis that will really affect our whole economy.
Well, it just seems to be particularly egregious that that this is federal money, in that, and a lot of these colleges, I believe, prey on veterans, don't they? Come right out of the service and sign up.
They do, and you know, it's the veterans represent a group of people that, you know, deserve our gratitude for what they've been willing to do, whether we agreed with these wars or not. They put themselves on the line, you know, and they've been carrying the burden of these wars when most Americans, you know, don't really feel it. And then the idea that there would be a federal program that, you know, helped aid and abet putting these veterans deeper in debt, and then that lobbyists would come up and defend these programs, it's a national shame. And it's not, you know, in veterans, it's low-income people, it's people of color, it's young people, but it's also older people that are trying to, you know, have a new start in their lives. So this, quite apart, almost distinct from this national debt crisis, just the whole idea of luring people in with not just poor quality education, but terrible recruiting practices where people are lied to, people are manipulated. I mean, there is military recruiting where some people say, you know, that again, that crosses over into taking advantage of vulnerable people. But the military itself, while, you know, obviously putting people at risk who join it, is legitimate operation. And sometimes these for-profit schools use worse tactics and bring people into something that is not legitimate in any way.
Well, my understanding is that these payday loan operations were setting up all around big military bases and getting not just soldiers in debt, but while they were serving abroad, they'd get their families in deeper in debt. Mm-hmm. And I believe that there was hearings in Congress, and that they cracked down on these payday loan operations that were literally around, you know, Fort Bragg and these other big military bases. So I'm surprised that similar outrage hasn't been expressed with these predatory student loans. But I guess the answer is that they've got an effective lobby, right?
They have really good lobbyists. You know, one force is going to be the Consumer Financial Protection Board, which was built by Elizabeth Warren for President Obama, and she's obviously moved on to another pursuit. But they have hired Holly Petraeus to specialize in these veterans issues and to protect veterans. They have another division that's going to work on students. They don't have jurisdiction over the federal loans, but they do over the private educational loans of the kind that you mentioned. So hopefully that agency will become a force for positive change on these issues, and that people in Congress will be looking out for this stuff. And look, we don't want to be too paternalistic in America. We don't want to say, you know, poor people can't buy houses, can't take on loans. So we don't want to be in a situation where we say, you know, these people are just too risky and they're victims, and therefore they shouldn't have anything. They're entitled to their dignity and they're entitled to make decisions. But it's the imbalance of information that people receive, and it's the false information that people receive. And, you know, a simple thing like, I could get a low interest loan that I wouldn't have to pay back till I graduate. I'm eligible for that federally guaranteed loan. but I don't get it because no one told me about it, and so I get a high interest loan that starts. I have to start paying back immediately. Stuff like that is just unconscionable. And the problem is, frankly, there's a lot in our economy that's driven by scams. Scams on Wall Street, scams in things like payday lending that you mentioned, rent to own, and for-profit
right.
colleges.
Right.
And what's worse than people getting scammed is that then educated people I served with in the Clinton administration, people leaving the Obama administration, are then paid to go to Congress and say with a straight face, you know, this isn't a scam. It's a wonderful thing for America. It's, you know, fool me once, shame on me, shame on you, but fool me twice. And the problem is Americans are getting fooled twice by fancy lobbyists who defend these scams as legitimate. And that's, I think people are starting to see through all this garbage, and that's why you're seeing outrage. That's why you're seeing the Occupy movement. That's why you're seeing more activism. That's why I'm glad I've been lucky to run Campus Progress for 7 years and work with young people who are, you know, who don't just blame others for their problems, but step up and try to look for solutions to them.
So what is happening, David Halpern, in terms of some kind of legislative action to stop these scam artists? So the protest movement is getting attention, but it doesn't necessarily have a political agenda. They're forming an agenda with these General Assembly meetings, etc. But I'm just wondering about what, from your position there in Washington, who's taking on the fight on behalf of these students that have $1 trillion of debt on their shoulders?
Well, here in Washington, you know, there's been a coalition building to support access to education. That includes a lot of great organizations like the Institute for College Access and Success, the Education Trust, United States Student Association, Student Perks, Campus Progress. And when it comes to this issue of for-profit colleges, we were able to build an enormous coalition of groups and individuals who were ready to speak out. And that included some large unions like the AFL-CIO, like the NCLR, La Raza, the NAACP, the Leadership Conference for Civil and Human Rights. These organizations realize that these are issues that affect, you know, a lot of people, that they're consumer issues, that they're really issues of justice and fairness. And so we were able to come together. But we, you know, it's hard to match the firepower of the lobbyists. And, you know, frankly, right after a key vote on this issue in the House, the industry held a fundraiser. They don't even wait, you know, these days, a day or two. They go right to the fundraiser to say, thank you for, you know, supporting us. And we can't match that. We would never match that graft. All we have is people. But getting more people at the grassroots connected to these issues so that they're not just a bunch of Washington people like me, you know, trying to use our powers of persuasion and creativity, and we have the facts on our side, but it's not enough. You need people power to do this. And that's why movements like this and more efforts to get people plugged in on these issues is the only way we're going to win. If all of this stuff was put to a vote and everybody had time, you know, 40 hours a day, and didn't have to work, and we could all vote on this, then progressives would win on all of these issues because the facts are on our side and the population is on our side. The problem is the money's on the other side, and the money allows the few to prevail, and it takes a lot of outrage and a lot of energy for people to overcome that.
But just to do a reality check here at the close here, David Halpern, the money is on their side, but it's federal money. It's taxpayer money. Saying that's the part that I find extraordinary is that that Congress has allowed these people to take federal money and to charge it back and make enormous profits out of it. And then presumably the money which they lobby the Congress with is also taxpayer money.
It takes money to make money, and that's what they do. And that's right. It is an outrage. Their lobbyists are paid basically by federal money to lobby to keep on getting federal money that is being wasted and worse than being wasted. We'd be better off with a lot of that money if they just threw it in the river or in the ocean than if they gave it to people to 10 programs that waste their time, waste their own money, and wreck their lives. And so it is, I mean, there are a few worse outrages than some of the federal, you know, the ways that people are ripping off the federal government and then hiring lobbyists to defend it. If you're going to defend a Wall Street scam, of course, that's also cost federal money when we have to bail these firms out. Same thing. They go on and act recklessly with their money and with their investors' money. Then they go broke, then or get close to going broke. Then they ask for a federal bailout. And then 2 years later, they use resources to hire lobbyists to say, gee, you know, there's too much federal regulation, and that's what's curbing, you know, our progress, is Wall Street shouldn't have, you know, shouldn't be so shackled. Of course, some of these for-profit colleges are owned by Wall Street firms. So it's one thing if you say free market all the way. It's another thing if you're living off an industry like for-profit colleges where 90% of the money is from federal taxpayers, and then when you get called for being scam artists, you just take some of that money, you hire lobbyists, and you defend your position. You know, people ought to be angry. People ought to be protesting, because and that should be true whether you consider yourself a progressive, conservative, pragmatic, moderate. Ripping off people with federal money is one of the worst things you can do, and that's what they're doing. And that's why we're in the student debt crisis that started this discussion.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today, David Halpern.
Ian Masters, thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with David Halpern, who is the director of the Campus Progress at the Center for American Progress. Campus Progress is devoted to supporting progressive activists and student journalists on college campuses. David Halpern is a former speechwriter for Bill Clinton and Howard Dean. He's also worked as an attorney and consultant for such groups as Public Citizen, Greenpeace, and Democracy in America. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back in a moment.
We walk the 40 blocks to the middle of the place we heard that everything would be. And there were barricades to keep us off the street. But the crowd kept pushing forward till they swallowed the police. Yeah, they went